You should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.
Somalia, scraping for pearls on the roadside. There's a force stronger than nature, keeps her will alive. This is how she's dying. She's dying to survive. I don't know what she's made of. I would like to be that brave. She cries to the heaven above. There's a stone in my heart. She lives a life she didn't choose. There is a woman in Somalia. The sun gives her no mercy. The same sky we lay under burns her to the bone. Long as afternoon shadows, it's gonna take her to get home. Each grain carefully wrapped up, pearls for her little girl.
Alleluia! Alleluia! She cries to the heaven above.
And welcome to Quirk of the Day is your host and producer, Autumn Simmons. This is now episode 89, How Entities, or so-called people, utilize so-called power. How entities or people utilize so-called power. Episode 89. Yesterday was an interesting day. And the day before was also interesting. It's always going to be interesting, or maybe not so interesting, but all over the place with anything. Dualities. Certain days can be better than others, just like the weather, right? So we came in with Sade, Love Deluxe, 1992. I've been a big supporter of Sade's music and her performance. And this album is one of my favorite Sade albums. So we came in with Pearls, and you're going to hear Like a Tattoo and Feel No Pain. And so keeping in mind that Sade's father was from Nigeria and also her mother was British, keep in mind that Sade knew of the Orishas of West Africa. And even when she moved from Europe as well, and also ventured to the Caribbean as well, she knew of the Orishas, not just Lucifer. She knew of the Orishas. I believe she knew Alegba, Ogun, Shango, Ashun, Yimiya, Oya, and Olukun. I believe she knew them through her grandmother on her father's side of the family, who also felt she was very special from the time that she came into their family, and saw her as an amazing being, okay? So having said that, we are going to add more. Other things we're going to talk about is this so-called third eye and seeing before what's over on the other side. And so that third eye, it works differently for everyone. It doesn't work the same for everyone. But some see other things others do not see. But the third eye genuinely has been real in the sense that it's shown many things about anything that has been kept silent or hidden, and having the veil opened. So having said that, yesterday I decided to watch Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which released in 1984, the film. And I also watched Eddie Murphy, Delirious. And I had watched Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom for a really long time. But I wanted to watch it since I've become older, and the time that I watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and I was so very much young as a kid, and so I wanted to see it in a different view or a different perspective of what I began to observe about aspects of things. I think we do this with art, and we're going to talk about other things too. They're very interesting. I still like to talk about different gods and goddesses that have had power over the idea of so-called humanity. And it's really interesting because we should be talking about these things that are very interesting. When I was becoming a teen, my father was telling me that religion is man-made. And Dad was right about that. And he learned even more when he left this experience and saw additional, got to know more about a lot of things people just did not know until they were over there. And so having said that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. And so you remember how it starts with Indiana Jones is having a meeting somewhere in China and Shanghai, I believe. And so there's a lady performing, and in the midst of it, they kind of got connected because she had access to some things that his enemies had access to, and she needed to move out as well and be away from the enemies as well. And she was trying to look for this diamond. And this diamond was supposed to be given to him. And they were trying to give him gold. He didn't want gold. And Indiana Jones wanted the diamond. And that was to be returned. And then you see people, they're shady. They don't always do what they say that they're going to do in the idea of business, right? And so in this interesting experience, he ended up leaving China and just ventured into India, which none of them knew they were going there. And so once they discovered that there's something going on, a battle in India between the good and the bad, or the more peaceful and the more the opposite, the warish types, or those of who are very violent and hostile, words we like to use, they're very hostile. And so yeah, warlike, yeah, very warlike. And sometimes we like to create extra words that had always been created anyway. And so having said that, we're going to talk about the immune system too. And other things I want to talk about are, it's just a lot going on with all this information. And you do see in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Dune, the shaman would meet Indiana Jones and realize that through his idea of God, through Shiva, which is actually Lucifer, Baal, Jesus, Allah, all those other interesting names, and many of those other Greek and Roman god names as well. And so in the midst, they were having this issue that they were having where they were losing, if not just having this drought, and they were having, they were losing a lot because of this type of I believe it was a stone. And there were three stones that are very magical or miraculous that could basically keep their side in a good situation for them. And when the evil ones took this stone, three of them, they used it for their power to have more power over the others who were considered to be more peaceful. And so they stole this stone. And the children were also stolen as well, and they were made to be slaves in this other aspect of a similar realm, but this was the evil side. And so you would begin to understand for this particular entity specifically that became the god of many on this earth, who was never on earth and never walked on earth in a human form or in any form of a physical body. And so this story that is a fictional story, but there are also stories that are not fictional about this entity. So one side, they refer to him as Shiva, who was also their enemy, who pretended to be good and bad at the same time and would allow the enemies to win over those who are to be more peaceful, and then at the same time take that away from those who are more peaceful and give the majority, as I mentioned, the majority are evil, the majority are wicked. And so you would see those who had the majority, you wondered why they had more wealth, or the idea of it, the big mansions, luxurious types of architecture that they actually had through this type of entity that would require human sacrifices and also require other types of rituals that are very demonic and evil and harmful and hurtful towards others for this entity's glory. And the others who would bow to it were the most weak, especially the most wicked. And so again, those would be the ones who would obtain more of this idea of power through magic, witchcraft. I was seeing this in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. The young lady who was kind of considered to be a princess or someone like a small type of goddess that's very young at a very early age, where she's not yet a teenager, and she was given this power, but this power was very demonic and evil and wicked, and she would sit at the table and as if she's the goddess, and she would be the first to sit at the table, and this devil would choose her to be that being publicly, to be respected as one to be worshipped. But privately, they all had to worship this type of entity. And in the mist, they would do, again, a lot of wicked things. And these things had to be hidden in secret. And even with Indiana Jones, you ever notice Indiana Jones is presented to be more noble? And for the story's sake, he would be noble, but we know genuinely he could not be too noble in the midst of this, of that type of experience. But you would also see the Indiana Jones, even though he could be extremely successful and be known by people all over the world, and most of them were wicked enemies who would want to try Indiana Jones and fight him for all of this, what is considered power, luxury. This, if it's not gold, again, like these types of stones or anything of what would be something that's worshipped as something of value that has tremendous abilities to change the future for others to have more power because of what they thought these items actually would be. It could be anything you would see. What we call like souvenirs and things of what we see. Things that belong to other people that belong to other beings, and other people would take their items and make them what they want to make into their perception of power over others. And so you see this in the movie as well. And but it's interesting that Indiana was only able to get one of those stones back. He had three, he lost two that fell into the river, where there was also a crocodile down there. I think it was a crocodile. It wasn't an alligator, it was a crocodile. And the other evil ones had to leave to get out of there because they had to go to their entity, okay? You know, they had to go back to their devil, you know? And it's kind of interesting, they weren't really interested in that part. They, like the others, happened to punish the others for their gain, right? So you would see all this in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And so at least Indiana was able to bring back one of the stones and bring back the children that had become slaves through those who had more power and this idea of wealth. And so you would see all of them fighting, and in the end, it would just get really nasty to the point even when you think it's over, like, they're still there. It's like, damn. And that's how the evil ones are like that. They're very stubborn, and you have to do even more with your energy to actually eradicate them, to expire them, because they are so determined to keep winning when there's nothing to win, and you have to actually kill them in order for them to be removed when they aren't to be where they should no longer be anymore, especially when they've lost the war or the battle, so to speak. And so you've seen good and bad in all movies, books, art, and people would agree to some extent that good is to win over evil. And you would see that the evil would attempt to manipulate so that evil could win over, but it had been determined that nobility and things that are more peaceful are to win over evil. And so others would suggest that they believe that, but they don't always represent what they present, you know. And so we're also going to talk about heaven and hell as well. And people have different opinions about heaven and hell. They do, what it should look like. And what I do know is that if you look up in the stars in the middle of the night, and do you always see heaven is completely light, completely? And have you ever seen the sun, what the sun really looks like? And to get a sense of what heaven actually would look like, so we would go by how it is during the day and how it is during the night. And seeing during the night, there's a lot of power, especially during the idea of night as well, and seeing majestic anything. Yeah, majestic of anything. If it's not stars, or every once in a while you might see some comets, and there is a such thing as moonlight. There is no moonlight, truly. This is really what we see, is the sun coming through the other aspect of darkness, and then it creates the darkness and the day merging together to create that illusion of making it so bright in the middle of the night, you know. And so we'll get into all of these things about elements as well and how even with Earth, some people refer to as Gaia and other names, the Earth is always like the rest of the universe. It builds and destroys, destroys and builds, builds and destroys, destroys and builds, etc. Okay, so that hasn't changed with the universe of how things are decided, what is to be, what is not to be. And also I wanted to talk about, this is very interesting, there are beings who have, when they come on Earth and when they've gotten to know and have been introduced to gods and goddesses, the gods and the goddesses could at times extend more time for certain beings on Earth when it has been decided, and if the universe has made that decision beforehand, for a god or a goddess could even offer that for an individual that would feel they should have more time. And sometimes there are certain rituals that they would have to do to extend more time depending on the god or the goddess that they're actually worshiping. And there have been those who believed off of the Orishas as well. People would try to extend their time on Earth, and being vulnerable as a human, they would go through a Legba or a Goon or a Shango. Others would go through Lucifer as well, and or Inki. He used different words for how he could be named as such, but definitely Inki is not a planet and does not have his own energy and elements. So Lucifer is a parasite, and he lied and said that he had a soul, but he never had a soul, and cheated to give the impression with witchcraft, stealing magic to give the impression that his soul was the largest of any being, which is bullshit. That is not true. So you find gods and goddesses are not always honest and forthright. Even like the djinns, they were not always forthright. They were known to be mostly, if not all, evil, wicked, and to not trust them. And so we'll go further into this about some other gods that I wanted to talk about before we take a pause as well and then come back. And I want to talk about Yimiya, and this is in reference to my book coming out. It's interesting, I was speaking with someone while I was at I was at a supermarket, and someone was working there, and then it was asking me, people will ask questions when you respond, it's kind of like maybe they're not satisfied with the answer that you respond to, though they ask these questions. And so I was talking about a book that I've been working on for, you know, over 10 years now. And I don't need luck for my work to come out, because my work comes into fruition and I've done well with my books. I have won awards with my book. I don't need luck for that. But people will say that sometimes, good luck. And sometimes they may mean it, and other times they may not. And so people are just unusual. But talking about Yimiya, because of this book, Naima by the Sea, it also features several gods and goddesses, especially about, I'm going to get into 10 of the Orishas, though it had been known that there were mostly 12 most known popular Orishas. And then there were others that were not popular, about 1,000 of them. So in this book, Naima by the Sea, A.R. Bay, you, and that's my author name, you will learn through my, this is my artistry and my creativity through my experiences that I have actually, I had met gods and goddesses that were not Lucifer, Jesus, Allah, Baal. And I met other gods and goddesses and got to get to know them and to have a relationship with them and to bring offerings for them as well, and how to do so, to do that. And all of this would be shared in Naima by the Sea. And so Yimiya was another goddess who actually did know about many things, like many of the Orishas as well, with divination and how people actually became so-called human to be on the earth. She was one of several who would see the beings before they could become human, how they would come in through portals, the majority. The very few who are the originals never came through portals to be on the earth, but the majority came through portals. Yimiya would be one of them who would see them wanting to come in, and the gods and the goddesses would decide which beings would be permissible to come in through portals and to go through the experience through magic to become human and to not remember how they came in. So Yimiya was one, Abatalo was one, Olukun was one, Oya was one. And then you also want to know when people have what we call their species, and let's say the idea of pets, they also come through different portals that are very different from those who came in to appear as human. So if you saw or ever had cats, that you would assume are cats that are spirits as well. And then dogs, they come through different portals, and different other, like snakes came through different portals, or giraffes, yeah, or dolphins, different portals because they're different entities and they're not all the same the way that it may come across as. And we're going to go a little further in and talk more about, because we're speaking of the third eye, and you may ask these questions, how did you know these things? Because I was able to see through my third eye, the perception of a third eye or a pineal gland permitting me to see things that others likely wouldn't see or whatever they could see. And so we'll speak more about other things I wanted to talk about, because we're still talking about how humans or people or entities utilize so-called power in this particular episode. And while we're ending this particular section or segment of episode 89, why are Africans chosen for enslavement over others? And this is a really amazing question. Good question. And the next question would, will Gaia, Earth, destroy her planet and when? And also another question came through. Earth is the only planet in the universe. Question, is Earth the only planet in the universe? Is Earth the only planet in the universe? Others felt that there were others besides what we learned in science. But I want to talk about Star Trek. I want to talk about Star Trek and this idea of the mothership as well. And that should be a little interesting, hopefully, as we move forward and some other information we'll speak on. And so having said that, thank you so much for tuning in to part one of this episode about how beings, entities, people, human, utilize so-called power. And I will be back.
You should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.
Still for the distance.
like the scar of age, written all over my face. The war is still raging inside of me. I still feel the chill as I reveal my shame to you. I wear it like a tattoo.
And welcome back to Quirk of the Day. It's your host and producer, Autumn Simmons. This is part two of episode 89, how so-called people utilize so-called power. The majority use the power brought up that we did come in with Sade albums, especially this one. This is one of my favorites, but I like a lot of her albums, but this is one of my favorites, Love Deluxe. And we came in with this return on part two, Like a Tattoo, and we do end Feel No Pain. And so, yes, we spoke about a lot of interesting things in the spirit realm, and yes, those entities that wanted to present themselves to be originals that are melanated, there were many of them over there that basically were parasites, knowledge but not wisdom. Very ignorant, and what they look like, actually, if they had been revealed, they would look like lobsters, crabs, and just want to manifest themselves to look like what they didn't look like, to make themselves look like the original, and or to look like some other type of entity that is not what they actually look like. It's very unusual. But let's talk about Star Trek. And Star Trek was from like the 50s or the 60s of that time. I want to say the 60s, but I would imagine that the alleged originator of that particular short, what do we call it? It's a TV show that was many episodes and series, etc., of Star Trek. And the perception I saw of Star Trek was very unusual of how I see it, and the perception that when this starship became very powerful, it began to think that it had more power to dominate into realms that did not belong to Star Trek, and felt that it had the ability to get into another entity's realm without permission, and feeling that the entity needed to just reveal their selves to them and to be able to get into their realm, which is not how that works in the universe. So, as I already shared with you, if you think you're going to go into another being's realm that is not your realm, they can whip your ass and kill you and do other things. And you did see this in Star Trek, where they would war with each other. And even with Star Trek, they would also be manipulated when they would go into spaces that were not for them, that wasn't their domain. And so you would see all that, but they would want to come across as if they're the noble ones who were the good ones, and they weren't good. They were just as evil and manipulative as any other entities that are feeling as if they should have entitlement and power over others, is what you would see in Star Trek. And so that's my perception of what I saw, which is true. And people enjoy watching the different beings just to give a sense of different aliens or different entities that have always been amongst everyone. And if you see Star Trek, even if the people don't really look like that, does it give you some insight? Just watching Star Wars, does it give you some insight? Many, many different types of entities of how they can look. Some are very unattractive. Some are considered to be attractive. Just different types of entities and their agendas. Okay, so you would see all of that in Star Wars, Star Trek. There's another one I used to be a fan of when I was a little girl in the 80s. and it had something, if I'm not mistaken, it was titled Fantasia. If I'm not mistaken, it was something about Fantasia. And there's a little kid in there that he needed to save Fantasia. And the reason being, the perception was that Fantasia needed to be saved because people weren't believing off of it anymore. Yeah, they didn't believe off of it anymore because it was bullshit. So no, they didn't want to believe off of falsehoods. And so Fantasia was going to be destroyed, and they needed to find Atreyu to come. And then they saw Atreyu was a kid, and, you know, we thought you were this, and you're a child. He said, well, I'll come back. I'll leave. And then I'll just go away. And he was the one that was going to save Fantasia, with this other kid on the other side on Earth who actually was connected to Atreyu. But they were in two different realms, but they were connected in some kind of interesting way to save this Fantasia. And then there was this wicked aspect of this energy that wanted to destroy Fantasia. So it was like, then they remade that with a sequel, and then they gave it a trilogy, and I was just like, I just went to sleep on that. The first one is the best, in my opinion. I like that one. If I'm going through it correctly, let me be wrong, because it's okay if I am wrong with that, but it's something to do with Fantasia. And we're not talking about Fantasia who won American Idol, what was it, back in 2004? And I'm not talking about that Fantasia. No, that's funny. This is very funny. Another one, I was thinking of Dark Crystal, but this is something that had to do with Atreyu. It was called The Never Ending Story. That was the name. And it had something to do with Fantasia. My bad. The Never Ending Story. I should have been known that. Yeah, because I still have the movie. But that's basically what it was titled. My bad. Came out in 1984. Yes, another film of 1984. The Never Ending Story. And it was about Fantasia. Yes, not the singer Fantasia, no. And it was very interesting how Sebastian needed to give this goddess, or she was a queen or a princess, he needed to give her a new name. Yeah, because the devil messed her name up. So she needed a new name in order to resave Fantasia and to make it better again. And it just had just a little piece of a little light, and the rest was all gone. And she told him, Sebastian, you have to say my name. What is your name? The movie. And he was being bullied too, this kid. Now, Atreyu was not being bullied. It's sad that his horse didn't make the venture, and he had to fight another type of entity over there, and he was ready. He had everything. He was ready. And it was interesting. You know, you see little assholes that always want to bully somebody, and he found this magical book, and then he left school because he didn't want to be in school, and he wasn't feeling it. You know, he just wasn't feeling. Dad was upset. You know, he was just like, I don't want to take this class, and I don't want to take this test. Oh, it's a math test. I don't want to do that. Yeah, because it's not that he's a dumb kid. It's just that it's a system that doesn't and didn't serve him. You know, but he was made to go to school to look normal, and then there was another realm of something that was not what had been over here, and it was more interesting, right? Even if it was the idea of fantasy. But yeah, so let's get into this mothership crap. There are those who had been chosen by different gods. Yeah, and that's what I wanted you to remember. There are those who have been chosen by different gods. Yes, but not just one, right? People get an attitude about one damn god and argue about some bullshit they wouldn't even know about. And I don't want to hear any more about these Bibles. We see all kinds of wonderful books out here. A lot of books. Yeah. And, you know, that's considered one of the best. Okay. All right. Whatever. And so in the mist, there's something else I wanted to mention. I also think that Sade also knew of Mama Wata as well, and not just Yimiya. But I did discover that the originals, who were the first, who have walked the earth and also became
gods and goddesses, Shango is one. Oba was one, and that was actually Shango's first wife. And Ashun was Shango's second wife. And Agum was also an original. And again, Ashun was an original, a goddess. And Oba was a goddess as well. And Alegba was also an original god. And Baron was an original god as well. And so when you're looking at the other gods and goddesses, there are so many, so many. Yimiya was a goddess, but she was not an original. But people would like that to be known. Were there mermaids? Yes, I have cousins, or just one wanted to know whether there's mermaids. Are mermaids real? Yes, they have been. I could at least say that they have been, but they're not what you think they are. And Yimiya looks something like that. That's different. A different entity. And Batla was another different entity that is not an original. And Oya was not an original either. Neither was Olukun. Neither was Medusa. And Izuli Zantar is not an original. These are gods and goddesses of, yes. Mamawata, I want to question that and I want to research it to know 100% whether or not she was an original or whether or not she is a non-original. Pele was not an original. Aset was not an original. When I say Aset, meaning Isis. Beset was not an original. Arula was not an original of the other Arishas. Mostly. We speak of the 12 of them specifically. But now, here's going to the questions. Yes, one specific. Why were Africans chosen for enslavement over others? Okay, well, let's go to it. And I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but the reality of that has already been revealed to those who are choosing to accept what they choose to accept other than what actually is. And it did take a while for that information to come into fruition. The majority of people who have been perceived to be Africans and why they were chosen for enslavement over others. Enslavement was not just limited to the idea of what is considered to be Africans. It would be many, if not the most of the majority, had become slaves before they were made into a human form. The majority were made to become slaves in the spirit realm, and then it would project over here, the matrix. And so the slavery perception, people thought perhaps it was over after, if you knew about what happened in Africa, if you knew what happened in the United States, if you knew what happened in other parts of the world, in the Caribbean and also in other parts of South America, and especially in the United States as well. And people would think that, okay, but why is it mostly those who were to look as if they were the originals? Well, let me tell you this honestly, and don't get offended, but this is true. Those who came in to look as if they were African or black or Moors or colored, most of them were not the originals that became gods and goddesses that were the original. And they were permitted to come in with color or to be melanated, because at one point the majority that had worshipped gods and goddesses were those who were melanated. Those are the ones who were the darkest, and the originals that had been chosen to be gods and goddesses, those were the ones who were to have been worshipped. The melanated one. So if you've seen the Black Panther, many of you didn't have a problem with accepting the Disney story, which was fiction. And Chadwick Boseman portrayed what we saw was a king and the perception of a god, right? T'Challa, right? He played T'Challa. And so Wakanda, even though it's fictional, but that was to give the perception of some aspects of truth on who those gods actually were. And they were not the majority, but there were those who had lived on the earth. And Shango was one who actually was a king. Agun was also a king. Elegba was one as well. And then Ashun became another who was a woman who was royal as well and became royal in the spirit realm and the universe had chosen. You know, Lucifer was the one who offered celebrity to many. Anyone who ever became a celebrity or to be known in any fashion or form through Lucifer to be known, that entity that many people love to call him in secret, Lucifer. Okay. When that entity, troublemaker, Beetlejuice, gave many the opportunity to become known, that never meant that in the spirit realm that they would become spiritually gods and goddesses and royal over there. It's not how that works. So many would have to find that out when they left the body. They would have to pay back dues to Lucifer for being famous, for being known, and he would put them in hell. And he'd been doing that for thousands of years since they wanted to be known. They wanted to be great. So if you're thinking of Caesar, if you're thinking of Alexander the Great, if you're thinking of the others, and we have also learned, when I say we, mean me specifically, Cleopatra was never here like Jesus was never here. So people wondered if she was really black. It doesn't matter if she was black. It doesn't matter if Jesus was black, because Cleopatra and Jesus were never here. So others were knowing that secretly on the low low. So again, go to that. So if those who became known, if those became known on this planet and they became known through Lucifer, how he allowed them to be known, that did not mean that they were royal in the spirit realm. And that also means that there are many who came in to be royal over here in the spirit realm. The majority of them are not royal. It's very few that are royal over there in the spirit realm. And that's a different realm than what's over here that was made. That is also matrix, so that you know that. That's matrix over here. And over there, you know, that's a different matrix. Yeah, I'm going to say that's a different matrix over there too. That's just a different realm. Many we didn't get to meet or know. And if we've ever gone to school, or if we did not go to school, we would basically learn about who others were through the idea of history and herstory. And you ever wonder, how did they become known? They became known because their God allowed them to be known, chose for them to be known. They made an agreement to be known of these types. These are different types that came in another way through the portal, and they weren't the originals. So here's an example of that. You ever drive in Philadelphia and you're driving, like you're leaning towards JFK Boulevard, and when you look up in the city, you would see William Penn, and you would look up as if you are to look at him as if he was a god who was not a god. And if you have ever been to the Benjamin Franklin Science Museum, and when you walk in, you see this sculpture of Benjamin Franklin as if he is a god. And those were not gods, and they were not originals. They were not what you thought. What they look like. That is not what they look like in the spirit realm when they left. But when they were who they were, they had Lucifer. That was their god. And this was the same god that they also had in he was in Kemet, Egypt, as Set, Amun-Ra, Sobek, and pretending to be other beings that he was not. Okay, and so anyway, when that time changed and he decided to change his name to Lucifer or Satan or Baal or, you know, any of these other names that you've seen or heard of, and many people thought, you know, He's Shiva and he's Buddha and, you know, Ganesh. Yeah, all of these, even in Asia and India as well. And so in the midst of all of that, I want to share about that is that, you know, when you're looking up at these other individuals who had been here to know that they had been here, the question is, were those gods that you see when you go to the museum? No. So when you're seeing those who are over here in certain museums where you're looking up as if those were gods, no, they were not. Now, if you did go to the museums and you have seen ancient Egypt or Kemet, and you would see Tutankhamun was actual a god at the time. He was. And he had been in a spirit realm for so long, for over 3,000 years, and Akhenaten for over three, they were real gods. And people agreed with that, that they were real gods or living gods, and then they were in a space that they were still living their afterlife for so long. They were living that afterlife for so long where there was no time. And eventually they had a season over there, and eventually that season was expired. And I could tell you a story. I actually met Tutankhamun before he left. I saw his father, Akhenaten, over there. I saw that they chose Anubis. I wish I could tell you more about Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton, too. I don't know why I wrote his name twice, but yeah. I can talk about Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton. They weren't human either. And Bill Cosby wasn't melanated. He was actually an entity that actually was white and not melanated at all. And so that would be what had been perceived as, I don't know, in the United States of America, he was supposed to be the greatest, biggest dad, or the greatest dad ever, right? The big joke. That's why we call it fiction, right? So we like the Cosby Show, but in other things that Bill Cosby did through art and acting, and also being a comedian and all this other extra, and being on a TV show many times, and other things that he was able to do, beginning with I Spy, right? So yeah, again, Bill Cosby was not melanated, and neither was obviously Bill Clinton. They thought he was the first black president. Yeah, he wasn't what you thought he was either. And so, yeah, when I choose to, I'm going to share some other information about that as well. And I think that's pretty much all that I'm going to conclude. I think I did have a couple of things we wanted to add. Yeah, there was another question. Will Earth destroy her planet, and when? Nobody knows for sure when Earth will destroy her planet, but eventually she will, but none of us will remember it, so it won't matter. And is Earth the only planet in the universe? Allegedly, Earth is considered to be the only planet left in the universe. The other planets already checked out. Those other planets had already expired. It didn't work. It worked for a period in a season, and then again, the universe needed to destroy and then rebuild. Destroy and rebuild. And so I was being told by other entities over there that Earth is the last Earth. Yeah. Well, like, Earth gives a shit about what's over here at this point. Earth's gonna do what Earth is gonna do, whether we like it or not. And so, if we don't get to remember it, it will not matter. And no mothership is coming to save the rest the way it had been perceived. Unless the one thing that was coming to save some of you was this purple element that you guys are fucking assholes to the one who actually has it. And that purple did come and get people. Not in the way that they thought, from what they experienced over there. And they get a goddamn attitude. They get a goddamn attitude with their God. They get a goddamn attitude with the Earth. They get a goddamn attitude with every goddamn thing. And I like it when the Earth does shut the system down, when the shit doesn't matter anymore. And then it lets us know that we're not as important as we thought we were. And even when you can see gods and goddesses, shut down and the universe said, shut the fuck down. Those gods and goddesses had to be put down. And then Lucifer having his ass put down a goddamn lobster. Okay, so when Lucifer has to get the fuck out of here in the spirit realm, that is a fucking wrap for everything. If people thought that was God, you know, they're going to believe what they want to believe until this shit happens with this rapture. This rapture hasn't stopped, and the way it's happening is very unique and different. You're not going to see the majority of people really dying in the body the way they had. If you remember Dolores Cannon, if you can go online, find Dolores Cannon, find her work, and you will find what was being alleged about what would happen at some point when people would just leave the body suddenly, individually. Or maybe a little together, and then one moment they're just not here, and then they're gone, and then they're somewhere else, and then they become what they actually were, and not what they thought they were. Yeah, so consider that. Not to scare anyone, but they've been warning us about this for a while, and people didn't want to believe it until the shit happened. People did not want to believe it until the shit happened, so in the midst of it, that's all we've got. And that's all we have, so this is all the time that I had for this episode, and we end with Sade's Feel No Pain. So the good part is you can leave without feeling the pain, and then if you're an asshole, then you will feel the pain. But if you were really all that good the way you thought, then you wouldn't have to worry about that. But hey, I already said the majority are wicked and evil, so they're not going to heaven, so they may need to feel the pain, because they will. So having said that, I'm out.
Been laid off. My brother's been laid off.
You should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.